Anyone sick today? Today, my sermon topic is a love story. If you want to hear a romance story, the Bible has some, but not many. Usually in the romantic stories in the Bible, the women are beautiful and have lovely figures, and the men just fall in love with them at first sight. So it's attractive. The stories are very attractive. Maybe you can quote some of these stories. For example, this happens to Rebecca and Isaac, Rachel and Jacob. There any more? For example, Delilah and Samson, or Ruth and Boaz. Other than the romantic attachment between a man and a woman, there are actually different kinds of love that you can find in the Bible. If you want to summarize the whole Bible with one word, what will it be? To me, I think it is love. The Bible says explicitly, God is love. We are very familiar with this verse, 1 John chapter 4, verse 8 or 16. God is love. Love sums up who Jesus is and what he did, what he does, and what he will do. The Bible is actually a love story of God. If you look at the beginning of the whole universe, as described in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, it was love that God created the heavens and earth. He did not have the obligation to do so. From day 1 to day 6 of the creation process, if you look at the Bible, God loved his masterpiece so much that he said 5 times, "It is good, it is good, it is good, it is good, and it is good." And finally, after God created Adam and Eve, his love rose to the top. He said, "It is very good." And later, God gave the Israelites the 10 commandments and other laws. He did not give them the laws just to restrain his people or to punish them if they failed. Rather, God hoped to see his people learn what love was through keeping these laws. In the story of the Bible, God's love could be found. And then, God's love was greatly, if we go back to the Bible for every story, you can find God's love was there. And God's love was greatly manifested on the occasions when Jesus was born at the manger, when he received baptism in the Jordan River, when Jesus was died on the cross, and he was resurrected from the tomb. Just like the Heavenly Father, whatever Jesus did, whatever Jesus does, whatever Jesus will do is out of his love for his people. Jesus hopes to see his followers, the Christians, learn what love is from his teachings. If you look at the Bible, on the other hand, the Bible documented one after the other the disasters of the humankind in exercising love. First, you see Adam, he accused God for giving him a wife who led him to sin. And then Cain killed his only brother due to anger. And later, Joseph's brothers sold Joseph as a slave to the Egyptians due to jealousy. And throughout the human history, and in everywhere on the earth, the powerful persecute the weak. The rich mistreat the poor. The husbands divorce their wives. Love is replaced by unkindness and self-centeredness. And today, many people do not believe that God loves them. Even for Christians, sometimes we doubt about God's love. Have you doubted about God's love? When bad things and deep hurts happen to us, God's love becomes only propaganda. The famous dialogue between God and the Israelites in Malachi chapter 1 verse 2 vividly reflects our misunderstanding of God's love. God said to the Israelites, "I love you." And then you, the Israelites, replied, "Really? How have you loved us?" Suppose you say to your son on his ninth year birthday party, you say to your son, "I love you," and then your son replies, "Really? How have you loved me?" And what will you do? I don't know. Maybe you will stop his weekly allowance indefinitely. Suppose you say to your fish in the aquarium, like your pet fish, you say, "I love you." And then the fish replies to you by turning his face away, "Really? How have you loved me?" And what will you do? Maybe you simply unplug the air pump. I cannot imagine how God feels, as so many people, Christians and non-Christians alike, say to him every day, "Really, how have you loved me?" We may have several reasons as human beings. We may have several reasons to confuse ourselves with God's love. First, we may think that God's love is the same as our human love. However, this is not always true, as we will see later from the passage we just read. And therefore, there are times we do not like the way God loves us. Just like the Israelites, they did not like the way God loves them. Secondly, we may think love is just a born quality that does not require us to learn. By instinct, even a baby knows what love is. We therefore mistakenly consider that learning to love is not necessary. However, God in the Bible always asks us to learn to love. The other reason for the confusion in God's love is that God's love is so great for us to describe. It is like there's an ancient theme song. It says, "The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell." If God's love is so great, we think it is not practical for us to imitate. And today we will study the Gospel of John chapter 11. I hope that we may remove some of the confusion about God's love. To understand the story in chapter 11, we have to go back a little bit. We have to go back a little bit to the last part of chapter 10. For the last part of chapter 10, it talked about when Jesus was in the Holy Temple in Jerusalem. He made publicly a surprising announcement. He said, "I and the Heavenly Father are one. We are the one. We are one. And this statement offended the Jews very much. The Jews therefore consider Jesus guilty of blasphemy because he actually claims to be God. He and God are the same. They therefore wanted to stone him to death. But Jesus escaped. He ran away from Jerusalem. And now Jesus and his disciples stayed at a place on the east bank of the Jordan River. We may say that Jesus was hiding from the danger. And then we come to chapter 11. Chapter 11 began with a situation about a family in Bethany. Lazarus, the brother of Mary and Martha, was very sick. And this family, these three brothers and sisters, they loved Jesus so much. On one occasion, Jesus preached at a home, and Mary listened closely at Jesus' feet. And while Martha was busy in the kitchen to prepare the meal. And another time, when Jesus was invited to dinner in Bethany, Mary, she poured an expensive perfume on Jesus' feet and dried them with her hair. Mary's love towards Jesus was so explicit that all the attendants at the dinner, especially Judas, were jealous. And now, in such an urgent situation, Mary and Martha sent a man to see Jesus. It took about maybe one day's walk before the messenger could arrive at Jesus' location. When the messenger saw Jesus, he said this in verse 3, "Lord," that refers to Jesus, "the one you love is sick." And the disciples were shocked to hear this bad news. And interestingly, in verse 3, the name of Lazarus, was not even mentioned in the bad news. What had been emphasized here was the love of Jesus. If you love someone who is in trouble, you will do something regardless. Bethany was a city maybe less than 2 miles from Jerusalem. Mary and Martha knew that it would be very dangerous for Jesus to come to visit Lazarus at Bethany. If the Jews in Jerusalem knew the whereabouts of Jesus, they would stone him again without mercy. And Mary and Martha might not expect Jesus to come. When Jesus heard this bad news, he said, This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son, that refers to Jesus himself, God's Son may be glorified through it. And then, after everyone heard what Jesus said, everyone was relieved. As Jesus predicted, the sickness of Lazarus would not cause death. So the messenger returns to Bethany. Jesus stays put for 2 more days, as if nothing had happened. And then, the disciples, they heard this verse 4. The disciples could not understand how the sickness of Lazarus had anything to do with God's glory. But they did not ask, so Jesus did not explain. And they assumed, so they resumed their daily routines. Now, of course, we know the glory of God. We know the meaning of God, the glory of God. Glory of God can refer to the presence of God so that people can see His infinite beauty. If you read the Bible, sometimes people can see the magnificence of God's presence. The glory of God can also refer to God's perfections in various attributes, such as His holiness, justice, goodness, and so on. However, we have to understand that in the New Testament, the glory of God commonly refers to the wonderful ways to reveal the identity of Jesus. The identity of Jesus, of course, you know, is the Son of God, the Savior. Every time that people know the identity of Jesus, or when people accept Jesus as the Savior, God is glorified. And then the following verse 5. If you read the following verse 5, this is a comment written by the author of the book of John. This verse 5 is even harder for us to understand, because he says, now, focus on the word now. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. We remember in verse 3, it has already said that Jesus loves Lazarus. It seems it's not necessary to repeat in verse 5 that now Jesus loves Lazarus. Why is it now? Is there a difference in the love of Jesus towards Lazarus between then and now? And to resolve this confusion, we have to understand the Greek terms for love. Actually, there are four Greek words for love. The Gospel of John was written in Greek, as we know. And oftentimes, the Greek words for love used in the English Bible are simply translated as love. However, the four Greek words for love are different. They have later we will have a table to show you. The four loves are eros, storge, phileo, and agape. Okay. Eros, where the word the English word comes from, erotic. Eros is the romantic sexual love or passionate love. And the word erotic comes from this kind of eros love. And this Greek word, however, does not appear in the Bible. And therefore, we may skip this kind of love in today's sermon. And here's a table to show the different kinds of love that we can find in the Bible. The first one is storge, not storage. So, Aiden describes the love among family members. We are very familiar with this one. In Chinese, it's chanting. Qingqing. This love is very natural. A child loves his parent and vice versa. A husband loves his wife, who also loves him. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus love one another as siblings. The purpose of storge love is to protect, to care, and bind one another. The second one is phileo. We don't have it is a love between friends. In Chinese, I don't know how to translate it, but in English, this is a love between good friends. This kind of love implies a strong emotional connection, and thus it is used for deep friendship. Phileo love is guided by emotion. If you like someone, then you have that kind of love. And therefore, we do not have deep friendship with everyone, because it's guided by emotion. And the purpose of filial love is to enjoy the companionship of one another. Mary and Martha consider Jesus as a friend who loves Nazareth so much. And therefore, in verse 3, when they said to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love, as Philo, is sick," they refer to the kind of love as the love from a best friend. In the Bible, the filial love among Christians, it is among Christians, it can be expanded to be like a family. For example, in Romans chapter 12, verse 10, Christians are asked to love one another. And this love one another is the philatelic storge, which means that we love in action. We love as a family. And this is therefore a deep friendship, as if we are a family. And this kind of love, you can say, is not very natural, as we are not born as siblings. But the purpose of filial storge love is to show that Christians are in God's family. And finally, we have the last one, agape. There are two spellings. How to say that? What is in English? How to say in English? That's Greek. Again, means your mouth is widely open. Again, but now it's in Greek, so it's agape. So it can also be an English word, again. Agape is another kind of love in the Greek word. Agape is commonly interpreted. Usually we say it's an unconditional love or a sacrificial love. The most famous definition of agape love is found in John chapter 3, verse 16. "For God so loved the world," that love is agape love, "that he gave his only one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." God loves the world with this agape love. God's love is very special. He loves the people not because they are lovable. We are not so lovable as you may think. He loves us even before we accept him as our creator. He loves us no matter how many times we have disappointed him. And that is the agape love. After Jesus proclaimed the sickness of Lazarus could bring glory to God, the Bible in verse 5. In verse 5 says, "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus." And that love in Greek is the agape love. It means Jesus now loves Lazarus, not just as a best friend, but also with a special agape love that can bring glory to God. Agape love. There must be a purpose there. That would be to bring glory to God. God's love is always agape. In fact, whenever Jesus asked his disciples, asked the Christians, to love one another, Jesus always refers to the agape love. For example, Jesus commands his disciples to exercise agape love in John chapter 15, verse 12. This is what Jesus said. He said, "This is my commandment, that you love," that's agape love, "one another as I have loved you." That's also the agape love. Jesus loved us, and then he expects us to exercise the agape love to one another. Now for humankind, we are only familiar with the human love. If we like someone, we show love to him or her. If we do not like someone, we do not show any love to him or her. However, God's love is surely different from our human love. Jesus asked to love others sacrificially, including our enemies. It is not guided by our emotion. And the purpose of exercising agape love is to witness the glory of God by revealing, who Jesus is. Now let's go back to the story of today's story. On the next day, after the messenger came to tell Jesus about the bad news, on the next day, the messenger sent by Mary and Martha rushed back to Bethany. He told Mary and Martha what Jesus had said. Jesus had said that his sickness would not cause death. But Martha and Mary, the two sisters, they were sad, shocked, and disappointed when they heard what Jesus said. Because Lazarus was actually dead yesterday, not long after they sent the man to Jesus. In fact, the sisters had already buried their brother. According to the Jewish tradition, a dead body should be buried on the same day he died. So on day three, after Jesus heard the bad news, that's already day three, he suddenly told the disciples to get ready for a trip. In verse 7, Jesus said, "Oh, let us go back to Judea." Jesus actually meant to go back to Bethany, as the city Bethany was in the region Judea. And the disciples did not like the idea of going back to Bethany to visit Nazareth. It was not a good time, as the Jews in Jerusalem were waiting for an opportunity to stone Jesus. The disciples therefore reminded Jesus of the danger. They said, "But Rabbi, a short while ago, the Jews tried to stone you, and yet, now you are going back?" The disciples, of course, they loved Jesus and did not want him to face any dangers. That was what a friend for. A friend give advice. However, their love was still not the agape love that Jesus wanted them to learn. They still did not learn what agape love was about. And therefore, Jesus answered them with a parable. "Are there not 12 hours of day night? Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble, for they see by this world's light. It is when a person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light." In a typical day, of course, we have 12 hours of sunlight and 12 hours of darkness. When a man walks in the light, he can see clearly, and he will not stumble over obstacles on the road. However, if he walks in the darkness, he will easily stumble over unseen objects. Actually, in this parable, there's a deeper meaning there. Jesus himself, he refers himself as the light of the world. As the light of the world. For example, if you look at John chapter 8, verse 12, he had already told his disciples that he is the light of the world. This light can separate the truth from the untruth, the righteousness from the unrighteousness, and the good from the evil. When Christians are walking with Jesus, we should not stumble in doing the words of God, as if we walk in the daytime. and then it is okay for us to testify the glory of God. Even the situation is not favorable. We will not stumble over difficulties. On the other hand, if we do not have Jesus in our hearts, if we do not walk with Jesus, we will only see the dangers and the difficulties. And these obstacles can cause us to stumble to finish the work of God. It seems that the disciples still could not get it. They still could not get it. After Jesus told them the parable, Jesus then explains the reason for their immediate return to Bethany. Jesus said, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up." According to the Jewish tradition, when someone dies, he is referred to as sleeping. He slept. If someone has fallen asleep, it means he is dead. However, the disciples could not associate Lazarus' sleep, as Jesus said, to his death, as they have never heard anyone who died could wake up again from the tomb. And therefore, they thought Jesus was saying Lazarus was too tired and fell in a lateral sleep. A lateral sleep, of course, was a good sign of recovery. However, what Jesus meant was he would go back to Bethany to raise Lazarus from his death. And then Jesus told them plainly, since they still do not get it, "Lazarus is dead, and for your sake, I'm glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." And then we are wondering, why was Jesus glad? Why is he so glad that he was not in Bethany a few days earlier? We know on day one, Lazarus died. And Jesus stayed put for 2 days in where he was. And then on day three, he told his disciples to go to Judea. And then they have to walk. They have to walk. And when they walked to Bethany, Lazarus was already buried in the tomb for 4 days. According to the Jewish tradition or their belief, they believed that a man's soul will flow in the air for the first 3 days after he has no sign of life. So when someone dies, his soul comes out. The soul flows in the air. Of course, this is not biblical. It's just their Jewish belief. And the soul flows in the air, waiting for a chance to re-enter into the dead body if the heart beats again. However, on the fourth day of death, the Jews believe that everything is too late, and death becomes irreversible. The soul will then say bye-bye to the dead body forever. And Lazarus, therefore, 4 days in the tomb, was therefore a sure death. It's a sure death. Jesus returned to Bethany on the fourth day was to convince the people that the resurrection of Jesus is by Jesus' power of giving life, not by luck or not by chance. The purpose for going back to Bethany was to build up the faith of his disciples because they still were not sure who Jesus was. Sometimes we do not know who Jesus was. His love was so great that we cannot understand. And therefore, Jesus was glad. He was glad that he had waited for a few days so that Lazarus' death was a sure death. And then Thomas, Thomas said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." Who is Thomas? Usually we think we like to call Thomas as the doubter. He doubts everything, he said. However, if you read the Bible, Thomas is actually the most sensible disciple among all Jesus' disciples. He's the most sensible person. Whatever Jesus did, it was not out of impulsion, not like Peter. Peter liked to do things out of impulsion, but not Thomas. Thomas believed Jesus was the Messiah, just like us. We believe Jesus is the Messiah. But he does need the proof, because at chapter 11, Jesus was not crucified or resurrected yet. So Thomas needs the proof and reason to make sense of what he believed, that Jesus was the Messiah. We will not spend time to talk about the ending of today's story in details. In short, if you have not read the story before, in short, Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. And Lazarus walked alive from the tomb. Many Jews had come to Bethany to visit Mary for the funeral, and they had seen what Jesus did to Lazarus. So many Jews, they believed in Jesus. And the other Jews in Jerusalem, now they knew the whereabouts of Jesus, and therefore they gathered to make a plan to kill Jesus. After this miracle, Thomas and the rest of the disciples learned what agape love was. Agape love is to witness the glory of God to the unbelieving world. To exercise agape love, sometimes we may need to pay the price by giving away our time, energy, maybe money, and even our life. So what have we learned today? As Christians, we need to exercise all kinds of love mentioned in the Bible. First, we practice love in our family. This kind of love is a deep affection that connects us naturally to our immediate family members. It's always a blessing if we have a family to live out this bonding. And then we have the friendship love. Our friends can stand with us and share our deep thoughts and feelings. Our best friends can be non-Christians. Some of our best friends, they are non-Christians. In that case, bringing them to the Lord is our priority. We do not want our good friends to lose the chance of salvation. And for the Christian friends, we have many Christian friends. They are our family in the Lord. When I travel to different parts of China, some Christians whom I met the first time treated me as if I was one of their family. It gave me the feeling of home. So we should practice that. Practice that we Christians love one another as if we are in a home, at a home. And finally, we need to practice the agape love. We love people, even strangers, not because we are religion fanatics. We love people because we want to glorify God by testifying the identity of Jesus and by testifying the salvation of Jesus. Our love, this kind of agape love, is frequently not fun, or easy. But it needs to be done. To summarize, God is love. The Bible talks about from chapter 1 to the last chapter of Revelation. It all talks about the love of God. Jesus is a pioneer to exercise the agape love, the love that's from God. That kind of love to his perfection. God exercised that kind of love to his perfection. Jesus' life, if we read the four Gospels, his life is a story of love. And this story, his love story, will go on through our love to one another and to the people who do not know the love story of God. Let's bow our head and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the message that you have given us. Father, in the Bible you have already said that you love us first, and you ask us to continue this love story. Father, there are so many people around us. Some of them we like, some of them we don't like. But to bring the glory of God, to glorify you. And also because we have received this goodness to be called as your children. Teach us how to love others so that through this process we know we are being loved by you so much. Father, we thank you. Pray all this in the Son Jesus Christ's name.